Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be richly multiplied unto you from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us sing, congregation, from Psalter 82. Defend me, Lord, from shame, for still I trust in thee. Since just and righteous is thy name, from trouble set me free. O Lord, in mercy hear, deliver me with speed. Be my defense and refuge near, my help in time of need. Psalter 82, the three stanzas.
Thank you. Scripture reading this morning can be found in Isaiah, there from the 57th chapter, but first we'll read the law as can be found in Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and shewing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Furthermore, we rest to read from Isaiah chapter 57. The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart, and merciful men are taken away, and none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. He shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. But draw near hither, ye sons of the sorceress, the seed of the adulterer and the whore. Against whom do ye sport yourselves? Against whom make ye a wide mouth and draw out the tongue? Are ye not children of transgression, a seed of falsehood? And flaming yourselves with idols under every green tree, slaying the children in the valleys, under the cliffs of the rocks? Among the smooth stones of the streams is thy portion. They are thy lot, even to them thou hast poured out a drink offering. Thou hast offered meat offering. Should I receive comfort in these? Upon a lofty and a high mountain thou hast set thy bed. Even thither wendest thou up to offer sacrifice. Behind the doors also, and the post, hast thou set up thy remembrance. For thou hast discovered thyself to another than me, and art gone up Thou hast enlarged thy bed, and thou hast made thee a covenant with them. Thou lovest their bed where thou sawest it, and thou wentest to the king with ointment, and didst increase thy perfume, and didst send thy messengers far off, and didst debase thyself even unto hell. Thou art wearied in the greatness of thy way, yet saidst thou not, there is no hope. Thou hast found the life of thine hand, therefore thou wast not grieved. And of whom hast thou been afraid or feared, that thou hast lied and hast not remembered me, nor laid it to my heart? Have I not held my peace even of old, and thou fearest me not? I will declare thy righteousness and thy works, for they shall not profit thee. When thou criest, let thy companies deliver thee, but the wind shall carry them all away. Vanity shall take them, but he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain, and shall say, cast ye up, cast ye up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. For thus saith the High and Lofty One that inhabited eternity, whose name is Holy. I dwell in a high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to receive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one. For I will not contend forever, neither will I always be wroth. For the spirit should fail before me, and the souls which I have made. For the iniquity of his covetousness was I wroth, and smote him. I hid me, and was wroth. And I went on frowardly in the way of his heart. I have seen his ways, and will heal him. I will lead him also, and restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him that is afar off, and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked.
Wish to remember in prayer this morning, Mr. John Vandenbroek, who today is 73 years old, and Mr. Jacob Beyer, who today is 77 years old. Let us try to ask the Lord for his blessing upon our gathering. Almighty, eternal, and everywhere present God, thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. And thou dost not change. But, O Lord, grant yet, as we come together in this morning hour, round about thy holy word in testimony, give yet the spirit of prayer and of supplication. Lord, all things are in thy hand. We are nothing, but thou art the true God. Thou art perfectly righteous, and thou hast come upon this earth and became a man that thou mayst suffer and die to pay the price to redeem thine inheritance. Lord, wilt thou yet grant then that we may have an insight in what thou hast done, that we may learn what a sinner that we are, but that thou hast given grace yet and given broken hearts and contrite spirits. Because, Lord, without thee we are nothing, and with thee then all things are possible. And thou hast but to speak, and it is to command, and it stands firm. And it is, Lord, that good work of grace is in the heart, that is only because of thy well-doing, and that already from the quietness of eternity. Lord, thou dost take one and leave another, and thou art so just and righteous in all thy ways. But then we may also say that the living gospel comes unto every one of us in the external call, and that call is, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. O eternal wonder of wonders, if we may be drawn with the cords of love, if we may be touched with the power of thy Holy Spirit, if thy name may be exalted within our hearts, and that we may be given to see that in thee there is a fullness that never can be emptied. Lord, teach us from above, grant unto us a token for good. Give yet in the heart of each one gathered here, because we all need the same matter, give in the heart that there is a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Lord, rise yet and come thou in the midst of us, and give that we see what we have become in our own heart, that we have sinned against an holy, a righteous, and a well-doing God, but that we may also be taught that Christ has come as that only mediator, as the Messiah, and that he has come to redeem his Zion, and that is that people that is known of thee also from eternity. We cannot comprehend what took place in eternity, that the eternal God has given unto his eternal Son, that people that he should ransom and pay the price to redeem them. And that work must be applied by thy Holy Spirit, because without the Spirit, then we are still dead in trespasses and in sin. Lord, come over the mountains of our sins and the hills of our iniquities. O, reveal unto each one what we really are, because without the knowledge of sin and of what we have become, there can be no knowledge of Christ as that only Savior, as the only Redeemer. Lord, come then and grant that in our hearts, and be with thy Zion, Lord. It is an hour of preparation for the administration of the Holy Supper. Lord, give then that this day may not be forgotten, but that we may take it to heart, that we may realize one thing is needful, and then to learn by grace what that one thing is. Lord, wilt thou then take care of each one? I remember thy people over the length and breadth of the earth. Grant unto them what they need, and give unto them what is so special, and that is to know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Lord, remember the sick and the afflicted. Care for them, look upon them. The young girl who is in her home now, and Lord, thou knowest all that has taken place. Wilt thou be nigh to her and sanctify the calling? Give that thou would give recovery, that she may go in and out again. We think also, Lord, of the student Braun, and that tomorrow he will begin with treatments. Lord, those treatments are to be used, but oh, bless them and use them that for his recovery, if it is thy holy will. Lord, be with him and give him courage, strength, and light from above. Thou hast been gracious to him, and that his eyes are upon thee, the living God. Wilt thou remember, Lord, Brother Elder, with his birthday today? Lord, thou hast spared him these many years. Be mindful of him, help him, spare his life, that he may labor yet for some time in thy church. Another member of the church who is in the Dutch service, Lord, be mindful of him, that his years also are increasing. Wilt thou be mindful of him and grant unto him what he needs for time and for eternity. Lord, we are all in need. We have all sinned against an holy and a righteous God. Oh, wilt thou be mindful then of each one? Thou knowest the hidden crosses. Thou knowest the needs. Thou knowest all things of everyone. Lord, give them that their eyes are upon thee, and that thou would help in due time. Remember widows, widowers, care for them, supply unto them what they need. Be with the handicapped. Lord, thou knowest their needs, and it is thee that can fulfill it. Oh, grant then that they also may be given what is needed for time and for eternity. Help then each one in their individual ways. Be with parents and children. Give that children may be attentive to the advice of parents. Lord, look upon them and grant unto them what they need. The needs are many. Thou art right in all thy ways, O gracious and eternal God. Give yet also what is needed in this week of preparatory, and grant also that thy servant may have a word to bring. Help all thy servants over the length and breadth of the earth. Grant unto them matters and words. Give unto them to look to thee for all their help. And give, Lord, that the word that goes forth, that it may be blessed to for this one or that one, and that sinners may be converted unto thee, that those who are so converted in themselves may become unconverted, and that thou would give instructions from above. Every one of us need instructions. We need to be as drawn with the cords of love. And as is written, draw me and I shall run after thee. Lord, help then in all of these ways. Bless the brother elder reading in the Dutch language. Remember the elder in Nobleford. Help him in reading a sermon. Give them opening in prayer and grant that it redound to thy honor and to thy glory. Wilt thou go with us then in this morning hour? Give what is needed to bring thy word, and that it may be to the salvation of sinners, to the encouragement of thy people, to the glory of thy holy name, and that man may become nothing, that thou may be everything. And give, Lord, that the mediator may be exalted unto the highest, where he has merited a perfect and a free salvation for sinful creatures of the dust. Go with us then, and give an ear to hear and an heart to receive. Forgive what has been done amiss. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Let us continue our worship with the singing of Psalter 422, beginning with the third stanza, while your offerings will be received. The heavens praise, O Lord, thy wonders day and night. Thy saints on earth extol thy faithfulness and might. Exultingly they ask, who, Lord, within thy dwelling, who of the kings of earth in carnal strength excelling, can be compared with thee, Jehovah great and glorious, in all thy wise designs, triumphant and victorious. 422, beginning with the third stanza. dear congregation. We have just sung out of Psalter 422, based on Psalm 89. How blessed, Lord, are they who know the joyful sound, who when they hear thy voice in happiness abound. Maybe some would say, well, how can that psalm be written in such a way? Well, when the Lord shines upon the heart of a sinner, then that sinner can have times of happiness, of joyfulness, that they may rejoice in God and not in themselves. It is a wonder of all wonders when the Lord comes and grants a token for good, when the Lord would shine with His Spirit upon the heart of a sinner, and that He may show unto that sinner that there is yet a way to escape the wrath to come, and that there is hope for the greatest of sinners. We heard the reading of Isaiah 57, and it's a rebuke to the wicked that you find in this chapter, because it even begins this chapter, "The righteous perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart, and merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come." Thus, there the Lord, through Isaiah, is sending forth a word, a warning word, and it is throughout this chapter. But then when we come to verse 15 in this chapter, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy." The first thing there in that verse, we have to see that God is an holy God, a righteous God, a well-doing God, a merciful God. But then he says here in this same verse that whose name is holy, "I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of," what does it say? "Of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." And that word "revive" is to bring it to life. That word "revive" here is pointing very clearly to a humble spirit, and that to revive that spirit of the humble, and that they may yet look unto the God of all grace for all that they need. And when we think of that Isaiah, by the Holy Spirit, is sending forth that message, then we see what is so needed day by day, yes, and what is needed much in a time of preparatory for the Lord's Supper to be administered in the midst of the congregation. I wish to continue a little this morning out of Psalm 51, and this time verse 17. Psalm 51, verse 17, these words, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." Thus far, the words of our text. This text speaks of the sacrifices of God. And in the first place, it speaks about sacrifices that please God. That is a great statement, something that pleases God. Here in Psalm 51, it speaks of sacrifices that please God. And in the second place, the promises of God upon a broken and a contrite heart. Thus, sacrifices of God, what pleases Him, and in the second, the promise or promises that follow. Psalm 51, of course, is a well-known psalm. Many have read it, heard of it. But the occasion of this psalm was the sin of David with Bathsheba. And was something that was completely wrong in the eyes of the Lord. It was a sin that aggravated the situation of David. And then David here, he had taken another man's wife. And then when you read this chapter and you may look into 2 Samuel 12 and see what is written there, then we see that David took another man's wife, but he also took away the wife of one of his servants that had cared for him very much and had fought for him. Thus, in this chapter, then we read it very clearly that this is a wrongdoing in the sight of the Lord. When we look at it further in 2 Samuel 12 and compare that with Psalm 51, then we find in 2 Samuel 12, verse 7, he says that David had sinned, and then the Lord had sent Nathan the prophet to David. Nathan had given an example to David of a ewe lamb, and that then David had said, that man must die. Then you find in verse 7, Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Now here David had sinned. But if we take a look at that verse and compare it to ourselves and look within our own hearts, do we come then to that right conclusion? Then it is a personal matter that I myself have sinned. We may look at others, and here David had said, yes, that man that had done that, that man must die. And it says it so clearly there. But then Nathan the prophet, then he had said to David right there, thou art the man. We look further in this chapter, and then we see in verse 13, David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. So because of the sin of David, then Nathan had to come and to speak to him. But then the Lord had stepped in right there also, and the Lord had showed what had become of him. Because we read earlier in verse 9, wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Then what comes? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. All it is coming on the picture. It is all coming forward. Thus we learn right there, congregation, sin is not hidden. Sin is always open and revealed unto the Lord. And God will punish sin. God will come against sin. And the Lord will show, even as David had said, I have sinned, and then that he had done evil before the Lord. Now when we think here of this verse here, and then in perspective, compare it to the administration of the Lord's Supper, which we hope to have in the next Lord's Day, then there is in here the sacrifices of God. are a broken spirit. We can look back in the Old Testament and find the sacrifices of God, the rules, the guidelines that the Lord gave unto Israel. They came into the temple and the many different sacrifices that they had. But he says here, the sacrifices of God now are not the bullocks and not all the animals that had come in. Yes, that was the order that God had given. But here he says, the sacrifices of God, that is something higher, that is something special. And what is it? That's a broken spirit. That is what is being spoken of, are a broken spirit. How do we see that, congregation? A broken spirit, or a broken and a contrite heart. What do they really feel? Here's the point. When we look at this verse here, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. What is that really pointing to? How can we compare that for self-examination for the administration of the Holy Supper? In the first place, we can compare it to what took place with the prodigal son. And what did he say? I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Now that prodigal son, he returned, and then when he had seen what had taken place, then he confesses he left his father. He had left him alone, and he went his way. But then the Lord had brought to him light in his soul that he had done evil. I have sinned against heaven and before thee. So what was the first thing? That he was brought to his senses that he had sinned against heaven, against an holy, a righteous, and a well-doing God. Now, when we think of this, those sacrifices are a broken spirit. That man had a broken spirit. And that man, he testified that he sinned against heaven. Congregation, if you look in your own heart, every one of us, we just look in our own hearts. Have we ever come to a conclusion that you say to yourself, I have sinned against heaven? Yes, maybe some will say, I have done this and I have done that. And I've done so many evils in my life. But now to come to the point to realize and to understand that I have sinned against heaven. And what is heaven? That is God Almighty. And that I have sinned against Him in such a way that I don't deserve anything. What else do we see here? Some will feel in their heart they've denied God's truth. They feel in their heart, I've despised God's holy ways. They feel in their heart, they've disobeyed God's commands. And thus, he goes even further. Of what can take place in the soul, they don't trust God. You say, what a terrible thing to say. That comes up in their soul when the light of the Spirit shines upon them. And then they learn by grace, they learn by the teachings of the Spirit, that it can't even go so far, they dishonor the name of the Lord. And thus, when it says the sacrifices of God, then we have a question for this morning. What are the marks of a broken heart and a contrite spirit? Maybe someone says here, well, I don't know if there has to be certain marks for me to attend the Lord's table. I don't know if I have to follow just those examples you give. I just believe, that's all I do. And I've accepted I'm a sinner and that God is gracious. Congregation, there are marks. When it says the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. Now, when we talk about this, what are they? Everyone that is born in Zion, they feel the burden of sin. The burden of sin causes one to mourn. And one who mourns learns that they are a poor and a corrupt sinner. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Thus the Lord gives marks in His holy word, and that sinner receives. What other mark does that sinner receive? They receive, yes, that broken heart, but they are sighing and they are pleading to an Almighty God that He would yet have mercy upon them. Then that warfare begins. Here's that old man. Here's that new man. That old man is corrupt. That old man wants to go on with the world. That old man wants to feast upon the things of time and sense. But that new man has it within the heart that is so tender that that new man says, away with the world, away with the pleasures, away with the festivities. And they are mourning in their soul that they have sinned against such an holy God that they desire that the Lord would still look upon them. It even comes to a point that they feel it's impossible for me. But the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. There's a longing in the soul. We even find it in the New Testament in Luke chapter 5, verse 8. It says, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Was he converted then? Yeah. Did he have the grace of God in his heart then? Yes. But he was brought low. Thus, when we think of it, that sacrifices of God. Oh, there's another token that I can mention to you to examine your soul. There's a breaking with sin. Oh, you say, but I am not that way. No. To say I have to break with sin. I don't love sin. I like to go the right way. But there's a breaking with sin. And they find in the heart that the least things, that it's all sin against God. And they long that the Lord would yet give a token of grace in their soul. Those sacrifices are breaking with sin. The sacrifices are a love for God and for His holy word. There is also a token that they are patient. They are given to have patience so when the Lord may come against them. And thus, what do they? Take God's word and they read it. And then there's times that they tremble. They say, that is what the Lord says in His holy word. That is what the Lord is speaking to me. That I am evil born in sin. And the Lord has to teach me these things. Congregation, the sacrifices of God, that's a tender heart. And that heart trembles before the Lord. That heart desires only to look unto him. And then when you think here of the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, oh, then that people, they have a yearning in their soul that they may be on the right foundation. Do they always believe they're on the right foundation? Do those people of the Lord that have a broken heart and a contrite spirit, are they always so positive and sure that they're resting on the right foundation? No, they don't have it every day, not 24/7 congregation. That is the Christendom of today. They can live with the world and they can be happy in their own heart and they think it is all right. But God explains it different in his holy word. And what did you find in this psalm and in verse 17 about that broken heart? That is an essential thing, a matter that must take place in the soul. And then somebody asked, well, does every child of God receive a broken heart and a contrite spirit? What is? Does everyone? And I will tell you, everyone. And how do I back that up? With a humble spirit. There will not be one of God's children entering into glory that never had a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Yes, those sacrifices, that is, that they may only rest on that one foundation, Christ Jesus. Can they always own up to it, congregation? Can they always say, yes, I have Christ as my part? No, they don't have it every day. But is the root of the matter then in their soul? Yes, it is. And what is the longing? Then they see their sin and they desire that they may know something of him who paid the price of sin. And where did he pay that price? Oh, then you have to go to Gethsemane. You can go earlier because from the birth of Christ until he died, then it was also a life of suffering. But when we think about that only sacrifice, it was the mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then in Gethsemane, what did he do? What did Christ do there? He prayed. He prayed, congregation. And how did he pray? Not my will, but thy will be done. Does that happen in the hearts of those who are born again? Not my will. At times they may say it. At times they may lay everything aside and that they may feel that as Christ was in Gethsemane, he agonized. He bore the full wrath of God and he had sweat great drops of blood. And thus, the Messiah, the mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, then what took place with him, that he paid for the whole price to redeem a sinner there in Gethsemane. And especially with, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. Do God's people come to that point? There can be moments that they have in their life, congregation. They say, not my will, but thy will be done. And that what it really is, they lay it all open. Say, Lord, here's the whole case. Lord, I have nothing of myself. I cannot help myself. I cannot save myself. I cannot deliver myself. But it is in thee alone that thou, there in Gethsemane, that thou hast paid the price. And then they took him to Gabbatha. Gabbatha, before the earthly judges. And the people cried out, crucify him. Crucify him. Oh, at times, then the heart can be crushed when they read that. Crucify the Lord of glory. Does one here with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, do they have those times that they feel that it's so impossible on their side? But then they're given an eye time and again that they see, yes, it is impossible on my side, but not on the Lord's side and not on Christ's side. No. He had paid the whole price. And then if you think of it further, congregation, what took place when Christ was on Golgotha? Oh, then pierced hands, his feet were pierced, and his side was pierced. And there on Golgotha, then he had to cry out, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And you all know what Dr. Martin Luther said of those words. God being forsaken by God. And then by moments that can come home in the heart of that people. And they can feel something of it. And then they say, here, Lord, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. But Lord, I'm so poor. No, they are not going around boasting. And they are not going around telling everybody how good they are. But the more that they see of sin, and the deeper that they dig within their own heart, the more they see that they have that they deserve not a thing of the Lord. But the Lord is so faithful, because we find it in Philippians, that he who hath begun a good work in you, that he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And there is the miracle of miracles. That he will perform it. He will complete it. He will finish it. He will do it all. And thus, that is, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God. Then it says, thou wilt not despise. What does that mean? That it says here, thou wilt not despise. That sinner despises himself. That sinner sees that in me and my flesh dwelleth no good. That sinner sees, how can a holy God do anything with such a one as I? But then they read, O God, thou wilt not despise. God will not despise because they have a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Can they add something to that congregation? No. But then, they will not despise. God will not despise. The world will despise. The world will mock. And the world will hate. And there can be many afflictions, yes. Does it go further? Just listen and look in your heart. Can it go further? They despise themselves. Can they go further, congregation? They can be despised by members sitting in the same church. I remember very clearly, that's many, many years ago, there was one that had a broken heart and a contrite spirit and was so overwhelmed that she needed some mental therapy, some help, they thought. And some people of the church said, it's just a mental case. She's just a little goofy in her mind. It's not spiritual. And it was spiritual. How tender, how hard times that can come against the child of God. A broken heart and a contrite spirit. And then to have some of your own people come against what took place in the heart. Congregation, it says, O God, thou wilt not despise. And when we read that he will not despise, oh, then we find something also that why he will not despise. Well, and I find that in Scripture it testifies of itself, because God will not despise a work that he began in eternity. And then we find that in Jeremiah 31, and there in verse 3, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Oh, if you may have that in your heart, there's room at the table of the Lord to experience that there was an eternal love. And in that eternal love, there was a drawing. And in that drawing, there was a desire to look unto him who is the author and the finisher of faith. God will not despise his own work. No, he will not despise that he had sent his only beloved son, that great intercessor of the church of God, and that he had come in the fullness of time. Because if God had to despise that work in the heart of a sinner, then he had to despise his own son. And God despised by God. No, it cannot be. But here, congregation, we think and we see the differences in Scripture. You have here a Pharisee. Here you have a publican. And that Pharisee is so boastful. And that Pharisee is so sure. And that Pharisee has no doubt. And that Pharisee continues on stating that everything is well. But that publican, he doesn't have much to say. But he just cried out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Are there still left among us that type of people? Who see nothing good in themselves, but they may see such a goodness in Prince Emmanuel, if they may have an eye to look to him and to see him, and that he had paid the whole price, that he had suffered from his birth until his death to pay the price to redeem his people. And thus, congregation, when we think of that, that God will not despise. But it says also, I see it in Isaiah 66, and there at the last chapter of that book, then it says in Isaiah 66, verse 2, for all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord, but to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. That's where the Lord will look. And find it in Isaiah 66, verse 2. Even to him that is a poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. And why does he look to him? Because he had taken them from eternity. And in eternity, then he had taken that people. And he would speak peace to them in the time that they would be here upon the earth. Oh, the Lord had spoken unto David, as we had mentioned something of in the beginning. The Lord has spoken that he had taken a Mary Magdalene with seven devils. The Lord had taken a righteous Lot out of Sodom and Gomorrah there. And the Lord had taken Ruth out of Moab. Is there a Ruth here? Is there left a Ruth here? Thy people shall be my people. Thy God shall be my God. O congregation, God will not despise his own work. But God will despise those who live so proudly, worldly, filled with pleasure, all who remain so hardened in their hearts. The hope of David, and I may say the hope of the church of God, is that they may have communion with the Lord. And what do they desire? Oh, that they may have only a token for good. They cannot boast in themselves, but they can boast of the mediator. They can boast of him who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And then even come so far. Oh, that sinner says, I'm such a big sinner. I don't know how the Lord can even look at me. I don't know how the Lord can even help. Shall I give you an example? Think of Manasseh. What a life he had. And the Lord, he had brought him low. I mentioned Mary Magdalene. How could the Lord take her? He cast seven devils out of her. And then to learn, congregation, what is written in Acts 4, verse 12, that there neither is there salvation in any other. There's only one name. That's who we must learn. To learn it by grace. And then what it says here, that the sacrifices of God are a broken and a contrite heart. And then, oh God, just as a prayer right there. Oh God, thou wilt not despise. Thou wilt not despise. Maybe some beggar here is saying, yes, I despise myself. I cannot see anything. But God will not despise what he has begun. And he will fulfill it. And he will work it. The time goes on. We have to sing a Psalter. Psalter 76. Psalter 76. Now unto Jehovah, ye sons of the mighty, all glory and strength and dominion accord. Ascribe to him glory and render him honor. In beauty of holiness, worship the Lord. Psalter 76. a broken heart that we read of in our text that leads a soul outside of self, leads them to Psalm 89, that they may experience time and again, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness. And then it says, to all generations. Thus the Spirit leads, and the Spirit guides, and the Spirit works within the soul. And that is salvation. When he speaks here about, O God, thou wilt not despise, salvation, Jonah said, is of the Lord. And that is a thing we have to remember, that it is of him and through him and to him. It's only God's goodness that he leads a soul to repentance. It is only God's goodness that they learn that there is a way to escape the wrath to come. It's God's goodness that the Lord sends his Spirit to open the eyes that they may see not self, for then they see only sin, but that they see that there is a mediator that has paid the whole price. And now Paul had received that grace also, a broken heart. He learned to hate sin, despise sin. And he was established in that work of grace. And then it comes that he says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? Then he came to that point, congregation. And then when he is in such a condition, then in one way he is still glorifying God. Thus, O God, thou wilt not despise. Congregation, that we may remember that a broken heart and a contrite spirit is a gift from above. Does not grow on the tree of our life, but it is a gift by God through the Spirit out of his holy word. God uses his holy word to convict the sinner. God uses his holy word to comfort the sinner. God uses his holy word to lead a sinner. And then he shall not despise the work of his own hands. And now one that has a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Oh, when we think of that, then one is humbled in the dust because of sin. That broken heart and contrite spirit, then there is true repentance of sin, then there is broken heart. The Word of God speaks to them. The Word of God is enlivened for them. The Word of God is precious for them. And then they know that their heart is as hard as a rock, and it must be broken by an Almighty God. But congregation, when we read that, that it is that God will not despise his own work, then there's a grieving for sin. But the Lord leads them to a way of encouragement. And that's not of anything of self, but that comes from the cross on Calvary. There you find encouragement. A wounded Savior, a pierced Savior that had instituted this Holy Supper. And he who instituted this Holy Supper, then he gives unto that people that they have a longing and a desire and a broken heart that they may yet eat the bread and drink the wine. The bread pointing to the crucified Savior. and the wine pointing to that, to his precious blood. And then, God, O God, thou wilt not despise. Congregation, are you concerned about your eternal welfare? Do you think of it? Do you have a desire that your heart may be broken? Or is your heart so hard as a stone? God's people at times can have a heart of ice. But a heart of stone, when the sun shines, it doesn't melt. But a heart of ice, when the sun shines, then that ice melts. And out of that ice, at times, then there comes a melting, that there's a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Oh, that we may take it to heart. May we receive that. May we each examine our own hearts. How stands the matter between the Lord and my soul? And that broken hearts may end in honoring and glorifying an almighty God. And then it is, God everything and I nothing. Amen. Lord, we draw nigh to Thee at the end of this hour. Bless yet the few words of this morning, and let each one examine their own heart, not looking to other people, but may examine their own heart, and grant them what is needed. Lord, bring each one of us back together tonight. Let none forsake the place where they should be in thy house of prayer, but that we may look to thee for all of our help, and that we may end only in thee, the living God. Go forward with us, forgive our sins. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us conclude with Psalter 390, the stanzas 1 and 3. And the only announcement from the consistory is that we hope to have a midweek service this coming Thursday evening at 7:30 p.m., a midweek service. Lord, hear me in distress. Regard my suppliant cry. And in thy faithfulness and righteousness reply. And what follows? Psalter 390, 1 and 3. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.